This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back. Final hour of the program. God, we are rolling through today on a Monday. That's always good because sometimes Mondays are sluggish, but Nick and I rolling you all the way till 4, and then the Blitz with Fred, AJ, and
Aaron. I'm never sluggish. I don't know what you're talking about. Never.
346 says they continued the game, Nick and Joel, after the player clapped. I was not aware of that. I thought that they suspended.
I thought so, too. Yeah, I thought suspended, meaning they suspended the game temporarily until they continued it again. They ended up losing the game despite him collapsing is what I believe
happened.
Denmark
won 1-0.
Yeah, So, I thought they continued the game, too, but I wasn't sure when you brought it up.
Yeah, I wasn't either, and I think the main, most important thing was the story went from being the game itself to just the health and well-being of the player, so that's where everybody was focused. Nick, someone wanted to know, if you were on the Suns, would you have participated in the hotel?
I don't know. Am I a young rookie, a two-year player, a sophomore player that's single, or am I a married dude?
First of all, we all know Chris Paul ain't participating.
Why not?
Because he's a happily married man that believes that God is good.
I don't know. I mean, I've never heard anything like that about Chris Paul in the past. I don't know if he has a history with the ones that own it kind of don't care. Like James Harden, Lou Williams with the multiple girlfriends. Yeah, I've never really heard anything bad about Chris Paul in that regard.
He's a leader, Nick, in so many ways, but he wouldn't be Devin Booker first in line. And Devin Booker was first in line before he hooked up with and has stayed with whichever one of the Jenners that he's,
I think it's Kylie Jenner, with, who's pretty attractive.
Not bad.
She's not pretty bad. Attractive.
Yeah, she's not bad. She's also somewhat wealthy. So there is someone out there, Nick, that makes more than you that you'd have to work with. I mean, it's hard to believe, but it's true.
I mean, she's clearly the breadwinner. And that couple, too. I mean, Devin Booker is obviously broke.
She's making more than Book, probably, right?
Oh, without a
doubt. Even though Book's making good change.
No, it's not even come. It doesn't even come close. Apparently.
Not even coming is what you had happen earlier.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner, that makeup line is just going crazy.
Well, was it Forbes that had her as the first billionaire?
Probably. I wouldn't be shocked.
At a certain age? I don't know if it was a female at a certain age or just at a certain age. They had her like listed as the first billionaire, and then it was all that was being in question that was questioned after that. But no matter if you're there yet or you're close to it on the cusp, it's a pretty good achievement. All right.
So apparently, the Twitch says Booker is with Kendall Jenner, not Kylie Jenner.
Kendall,
my bad. Right. I don't keep up with the Jenners or Kardashians. The Kardashians.
I like what you did there.
Or anything. I don't. Sorry, I apologize.
Our resident soccer expert, not named Glenn Davis, not Santa, said the players elected to finish that soccer game much later on that night. It was a terrible decision by UEFA to allow it to continue that night. Final, Finland 1-0, so Denmark lost the game.
I mean, I guess it's bad, but when they have significant injuries, like a bad leg break, they continue the game. I guess this is different because it was different because it's life-threatening, obviously, when you have a heart attack. I'm not going to sit here and criticize them, but I guess I can see it to a certain extent, particularly because you painted the picture that apparently the players were trying to cover him as it was happening. That way the crowd couldn't see him.
It was like a huddle, like a huddle before the jump ball in basketball when they all get around the coach.
Yeah.
They just, in a full circle, surrounded him and got a little lower, stayed close together so that no one could see. And I think that was the smart move because you don't know if he's convulsing or you
that's probably what it looked like he was doing. Right. Convulsing. I mean, and maybe the people in the nosebleeds could still see it because they're high enough with an angle, and still have enough of an angle to see it. But yeah.
So Kylie is Houston's own Travis Scott.
Yes.
Baby mama. Kendall is with Booker. One of them used to be with, I think Kendall used to be with Ben Simmons before Book. I don't know how I feel about that either.
Simmons was with one of the Jenners.
Yeah, if I was NBA dude, well, but then here's the other thing. It's like if you're James Harden and you've engaged with one of the Kardashians.
Khloe.
Yeah, and then you end up going down the lane with Tristan Thompson. Are you, like, yucking it up with them going, hey, bro, we got something in common? Or are you like, eh? Uncomfortable.
I guess it. I mean, the thing is, like, everything that Chloe said about James, like, James apparently was like this, kept saying that he was a serious one with her. Like, he wanted it. Like, he wanted the relationship.
Wanted it, all right.
I meant, like, wanted the relationship, not just what you're talking about.
But you feel me what I'm saying, though, right?
Like, no, totally.
It's just like anything else. Like, if we worked here, I don't think anybody here, if we were all single, would be like, oh, you dated so-and-so and I'm dating her now. That's cool. No, it's not.
Nah, you'd be surprised, bro. Eskimo brothers is what they call them.
Yeah.
We could be Eskimo brothers.
No.
You never know.
No.
Isn't that what Brendan Schaub said about Dana White when Dana White went out?
Yes, indeed.
He's good like, call. Last warning, buddy, because we're Eskimo brothers, all right? We had the same piece at one point.
Yeah. Well. Wow. Boy, Nick, you got a lot. You got people coming at you a little bit today on the text.
For what?
It's salted up again.
For what? What did I say?
I don't understand half of the times why the people choose to say what they do. Nick's reputation as biggest hound at the station, a fair one, question mark, openly says he doesn't go to strip clubs. Have you ever openly said you don't go to strip clubs?
I don't really go to strip clubs. I don't.
But you would. I mean, if like you're at a bachelor party or something like that, you're not against it.
I'm not against it. I just don't. That's not how I would.
Well, you don't have to because that's the way you got it. Like,
that. I love how he's dubbing me a hound.
I'm
just like a single dude, homie.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to tell you.
I'm with you. But I think that everybody's thankful that the Kardashian show is coming to an end. So now what do they
I'm
do?
Not going to miss it.
Now what do they do?
Just enjoy the billions that they're already making, I guess. Tell me one Kardashian or one Jenner that's broke or even close to it.
It's amazing the money they made with absolutely no talent. Like, Chris represents them, the mom, and she's loaded beyond belief for getting her share. And then you got the two Jenners who are both making, dare I say, more than two of the three Kardashians. I would think that the two Jenners are making more than everyone not named Kim.
Pretty much, I would assume.
Because Kim's got her name on so many things that she's doing really well.
I feel like Kylie Jenner and Kim Kardashian are the two most loaded of all of them. I could be wrong, though. But I feel like those are the two that are making the most money, at least in terms of their outside business, outside the show.
If Kylie's the one that was close to being a billionaire, then yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know which one. I can't tell apart Kylie and Kendall.
I can. I think Kylie's a lot hotter than Kendall. You can tell.
Okay.
But there's some before and after, like, surgeries with Kylie that makes you, whoa.
Like, see, Kim didn't need any of the surgeries that she got. Like, all the way back to the Ray J days, Kim was just a really, really pretty woman. But I don't know if it was like that need for perfection or to stay on top in so many ways. but I don't think Kim needed all the surgeries she got.
I don't know, because I can't really tell. I mean, I never considered her a super ugly or super attractive woman. I've always was right there in the middle. You know what I mean?
On Twitch says the Kardashians made a deal with another network, so you can't get rid of them that easily. They're going to have another show.
Is it going to still be called Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but just on a different platform?
I don't think they can. I think
the channel owns the rights, yeah.
But I think if whatever station they're on now owns the rights, then they're going to have to. But of course, the spinoffs are all over the place. You've got with the whole family. You can spin off with Bruce or what's his name now?
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn. You could spin off with Caitlyn. You could spin off with just the Jenner kids. You could spin off with each of the Kardashians because now who's the one with the least popular of the three Kardashians? There's Khloe, there's Kim, and Courtney.
Courtney is now with
Travis Barker.
Oh, yeah?
The drummer
I like Travis Barker.
He's Blink-182, right?
Yep.
So Travis Barker now is with, thank God, because she shoved aside that D-bag I can't stand, that Scott guy.
Yeah.
So now there's a story there because you've got two personalities who also have reality TV shows. Travis Barker used to have one too. So now you got Travis Barker with Courtney. You got Khloe with her never-ending saga with Tristan Thompson and all the models. And then you got Kim getting the divorce from Kanye. And I guess Kanye's moved on already. That didn't take
long. Well, she filed for divorce. I mean, he was acting pretty crazy apparently. And apparently she was working on getting rid of him for a while.
B. Hannon's got a great question. What happened to Rob? Rob was cool for a while, then he blew up like a hot air balloon for a while, then he was cutting all the weight. Then was he with Blac Chyna?
Yeah, and apparently she was just like she was using him basically. It's basically what that was.
So we don't know Then he was in some bad states.
He was big. He got big.
Well, and then mentally, I think he was going through some things, but I don't know where he what's the status now.
I don't know either.
If we see him in a boxing match in the next couple of months,
then you know.
We know that times are tough. Did you see the end of that freaking, what happened with the freaking Lamar Odom fight?
Man, it looked
embarrassing.
I saw like highlights of it on Twitter. I was not going to pay for that. But Lamar Odom looks so amateur and so weird and so uncomfortable. Why did he take this fight?
He must have needed the money, and I don't know where the money came from, but the whole thing looked like it was like two kids in the backyard. I'm going to date myself here. Do you remember Soccer Boppers?
Mm-mm.
Soccer Boppers were like at-home boxing gloves for kids that you inflate like a beach ball so that it supposedly wouldn't hurt the other kid when you punched him.
I see it. That looks like that could hurt somebody.
Let me just tell you, it did. I'll tell you that story in a second. But here's the thing. They looked like they had soccer boppers on. It was like the most harmlessly childish-looking fight I've ever seen in my life. And Lamar won. Not surprising. And the soccer bopper story, when I was growing up, my best friend Mike Taylor was 2 years older than me. Mike didn't tell me that because he wasn't all about that life of no pain, no gain, that he undid the seal on his right, he was right-handed, on his right-hand glove so that the air would start leaking out and proceeded to hit me with a haymaker that rattled my cage for quite a while one day.
That's fantastic.
When we were like 6 or 7.
Obviously not at the time for you, but that's hilarious.
Yeah, it wasn't a great day for me, but he was more than entertained by the entire process.
All right, Jamal Charlo next.
There you go. Stay tuned for that and a whole lot more coming up on the final hour of the Press Box, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, we're waiting for Jamal Charlo to call in as we get leading up to his fight at Toyota Center Saturday night he gets ready to go back in the ring. He's held two world championships in two weight classes, WBC middleweight title since 19, previously IBF light middleweight title from 15 to 17. So that should be good, fighting in his, whether it be hometown or adopted hometown, as we're trying to get to the bottom of that.
Toyota Center, June 19th.
Yep, good day. Great day.
He's undefeated. He's a WBC middleweight champion of the world, and you can go to toyotacenter.com and buy tickets if you want to do that. And it's this Saturday here in town, so if you want to check that out.
So, very cool there.
Before we do that, since Jamal has not called in, we can go into the UFC 263 fight. I don't know if you caught any of it.
I was watching some of it.
Israel Adesanya took care of business against Marvin Vettori. Not really a close fight, not really an exciting fight. And the Nate Diaz fight with Leon Edwards wasn't the most exciting until the fifth in. Nate Diaz was clearly losing that fight all four rounds. And then in the fifth, he catches him with a 1-2 that just puts Leon Edwards in a very, very bad place. And for whatever reason, I don't know if Nate Diaz was too tired, but he just didn't push the gas enough after he caught him. Leon Edwards was clearly wobbled when he got that, but it wasn't the most exciting fight, and neither was the main event. But Israel Adesanya defends his title and gets to move on. Vettori, I don't know if he gets that's a bad loss, because that's the second loss against Israel that he has on record for sure. The other big fight was Terrence McKinney. Terrence McKinney versus Matt Frivola, and it was a 7-second knockout.
Oof.
And in celebration, he basically pulls a Johnny Walker, and in celebration, he jumps the fence, lands back down on the canvas, and hurts his knee after he wins the fight.
I didn't see that.
Very, very unfortunate situation. And a guy who took the fight on short notice, I believe it was 8 days' notice, and he's coming from Legacy and gets a really, really big win on the UFC. I think that was crazy. He says he hopes it's a tweak, but it did not look like a tweak. Man. But he earns the fourth fastest knockout in UFC history. And the fastest knockout in UFC lightweight history. So good for Terrence McKinney on that. I thought that was great. You didn't catch any of it?
I did. I did see that. And I saw that. I mean, literally, he caught him flush with two quick ones. And yeah. It was nighty-night.
Yeah, he said his coach told him, once he stepped in, just go ahead and throw the punch and move on from there. All right, now let's go to the nasty injury.
Yep.
Paul Craig absolutely destroys Jamal Hill's arm. And the entire time we think it's broken, it's not. It's just a dislocated elbow. Mm. He gets him in a really nasty submission. His arm is literally dangling. The referee lets the fight continue. And not only is he a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt, but he actually teaches. It's unbelievable to me. And he says he didn't notice it. So it's just...
How do you not notice it?
I don't know. I don't know how you don't notice. So we have Jamal on the line. We got Jamal. Jamal Charlo on ESPN 97.5.
What's up, baby?
What's up, man? How you doing? How you feeling about the fight, dude?
Man, I'm ready. I'm tuned in. H-Town is going down. I can't wait to show y'all what I've been working on for so many years. I get to come to Toyota Center and put on the show.
Do you think this fight is going to be the difference? Because you've always talked about, Jamal, how you feel like you haven't accomplished enough in your career. Do you think this fight could help you with that?
Nah, it's just going to be one of those fights that, like, you know, fans get a chance to see me tuned in post, you know, pandemic. A true boxer, no YouTuber, something real deal, like, this boxing for real at its finest.
Jamal, talk about that a little bit, because with all the things we were going through with the pandemic, there was a real concern about when we were going to get back to live sports. We've seen it with the NBA and with baseball. It's a total different feel when you've got a full house. With you having all your ties to Houston, a full Toyota Center is going to be a massive, massive boost for you, just from the standpoint you're going to be all jacked up even more because of the fact you've got the hometown crowd. So it's probably a big deal for you to know that, hey, everybody can go that wants to go on Saturday.
Right. I mean, open doors to the people, let alone June 19th is like a special day for my city alone. And I get to fight at the Toyota Center, one of the most beautiful venues that Houston, Texas has, you know, presented to the people in a while. And then, I mean, yo, it's gonna be a tough fight. I got somebody coming in, 22 knockouts out of 22 wins. He's hungry, he's confident. You know, so I get a chance to show the fans that, you know, I'm a real fighter. Y'all get a chance to come out and enjoy a night of great boxing.
Now, are you still with Ronnie Shields, or have you separated with him as well? Or is it just your brother?
Nah, I'm with Ronnie Shields. You gotta know those things.
I love the fact that you have a guy that's trained Evander Holyfield and Pernell Whitaker and is able to like talk about what he's done for your life, because I believe you went to his gym back in 1998. Am I right in that?
Back in like 1998, me and Ronnie Shields linked up. I've been with him for some years. He's taught me everything I know inside the ring, outside the ring. Beautiful person overall, just always, you know, looked up to him and wanted him to be my trainer to get me to these world titles. And I got more confidence going into the ring that I know if I got to switch the game plan, he's going to tell me and I can absorb it and get the job done.
Talk about a little bit. I'm interested. You kind of mentioned it, but as a true legit fighter, what do you feel about all these celebrity matches? I mean, we were talking about it the other day. It takes away from the sweet science. It takes away from all the work you guys have put in for a lifetime and all the blood, sweat, and tears that go into creating a career and then taking it every step of the way. And then all of a sudden, you've got YouTubers and, you know, has-been celebrities and ex-NBA players that want to go in and capitalize. And we were talking about it before you joined us. I mean, that looked like a child's fight with blow-up gloves with Lamar Odom this weekend. And before that, I don't think Floyd did himself any favors by going into the ring with Paul. But as a true fighter, what's your feeling on all that?
It's bittersweet, you know. I love people who love boxing, and it's kind of boxing. These kind of boxing matches are teaching, like, the fans what real boxers are and what fake boxers are, or people who learn how to box. I mean, you know, I didn't take the route that they took. They're making good money. Can't knock them for it. My sport is at the top of the food chain right now. I mean, it's one of the most viewed sports out right now. And, I mean, it's bittersweet, man. We love it. But then, you know, we really put our life on the line to go out, you know, and take care of our families and stuff. But these guys get in the ring with no sanction. They're not trained. They're not professional at what they do. They cross in sports and they actors and whatnot. But it's just, I mean, it's funny to look at. It's almost like they're turning boxing into comedy.
We're speaking with Jamal Charlo here on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN975.com, who faces Juan Montiel June 19th at Toyota Center. Now, one of the things that I like about your game is your jab. I mean, I guess most people appreciate the flashy punch when they knock somebody down, but you've been able to knock fighters down just with your jab. One that I remember in particular, and it was one of my favorite fights, only because Julian Williams was calling you out a lot before you made your move up to middleweight, and you caught him with the jab in the second, and you were able to finish him in the fifth. I mean, talk about that jab. And am I correct? Did I hear you say that the jab is kind of boring sometimes, and you're afraid to kind of go away from it?
Well, I just sometimes in sparring, I just want to beat these dudes up with just the jab. But if I got a result just using the jab, I can win a whole fight with the jab. Something I'm gonna do on the 19th. Dude's not gonna be able to get past my jab, and it dictates what I do. And I make them move off the jab. It's so strong. It's just I think when I was about 17, 18 years old, I just wanted to figure out something that, you know, I was something else to do. And I was like, you know, I'm going to strengthen up something these other dudes not strengthening up. Everybody getting away from the jab. What if I kept a hearty jab in boxing? And I went through a couple more amateur fights, U.S. tournaments and stuff like that. And I would get criticized for just using the jab, and the judges would rob me out of the fight. So I had 6 amateur losses. And I lost those fights because I wanted to jab the crap out the dudes instead of just going and finishing them. And it's just something that took over my life and made me a better fighter than most of these guys. They throw the jab just a decoy or use it in a defensive tactic. I throw the jab to knock them out.
Man, I don't think you should ever get away with it. And I can get how it can be kind of boring, or you can kind of move away from it, or how you're concerned because of the judges. But Derevchenko, a lot of people said, man, this is the guy. This is the real test for Charlo. And you got past it, and it feels like no one's giving you enough credit. Does it have to do something with the jab? Because you're going up against a guy in Juan Montiel who absolutely has knockout power, and he's had boxing, and his whole family's basically been involved with boxing. Do you think you're going to ever steer away from it, or do you think you have enough power to where you can knock somebody out without the jab?
I'd probably knock him out with the jab.
Okay.
You know, he's a pressure fighter. He's going to come straight in there. He's going to eat so many jabs for dinner. This dude don't know that, you know, I'm prepared for everything that he has to come. He's thinking that, you know, I'm Kirkland or somebody. He's not Kirkland out and all this good stuff. Now, it's a different ball game. You're playing in the big leagues now. So I'm going to go ahead and dictate, and I'll set the tone, and I'll definitely be using the jab all night.
All right, man, I'm gonna throw it out there. Just because fans of the fight game know that, you know, there's always the next guy on the radar. There's the guy, the fight that everybody wants to see. Is Canelo on your radar for this year or down the road?
Of course. I want the big fight, but look, time isn't waiting. I mean, isn't waiting on me. I'm wasting it, honestly, just chasing him. Mm-hmm. So why keep chasing him when I can just go, you know, and be the king at 160? Because I don't think he's coming down to 160 to fight me. I feel good at 160, and I know a lot of people want me to go up, but right now, hey, I got the WBC. Let's unify. Let's maybe even go get Golovkin or somebody else to have a title, or the winner out of Golovkin and Murata. They both unifying. We could all put the belts together, whatever. You know, that guy Andrade, he's in the weight division. He's talking a lot. So, I mean, it's some fights to be made.
June 19th, Houston's hometown undefeated WBC middleweight champion Jamal Charlo this Saturday at Toyota Center. One quick thing before I let you go, because I like your car collection. I noticed in one of the Showtime features that you had a bunch of cars like white on white rims, and you kind of showed them around. But one car in particular I had the rare opportunity to drive was the DeLorean. Do you still have that DeLorean?
Yeah, I got the DeLorean. It's right under my birthday cake chandelier that's sitting in my massive living room. I won't drive it no more, though. You know, I'm going to try to get the new one when it drops.
I saw it indoors. I've driven that car once, and I couldn't figure out how to put it in reverse. So I probably wouldn't drive it. But it's so cool, dude. It's so cool. You literally have a Back to the Future car inside your house. So you don't drive it.
I am the future of boxing. Why not have the best Back to the Future car they have?
I love it.
That's fantastic, man. Good luck Saturday. You know the whole city and everybody else is pulling for you. So knock them out.
Got you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, man. Jermall Charlo on ESPN 97.5. A good dude. Him and his brother, man. Just really humble people.
Great story for H-Town, too.
Great story. Great story. And you should check out that Showtime feature. It might be an old one, but, man, it's a solid.
Is that like the 24/7s?
Kind of like that. Yeah. They do one on both the brothers. They do one on just him. They do one with him facing Montiel, so they get Montiel's side of the story as well. And so just a really cool group of people.
Those are great buildups for any kind of fight that you're watching. I used to always watch those when they broke them out because you get so much behind-the-scenes footage and stuff that you otherwise wouldn't see, especially if you do it fight night right before the fight. Those are great docs to watch.
Check it out. You can buy your tickets at toyotacenter.com.
There
Jermall
you have it.
Charlo versus Juan Montiel.
Well, the show has had track shoes on. It's been flying by. And we've got 30 minutes to go on the show, half hour on the clock. We come back. So we look forward to taking it all the way up till 4 o'clock, you guys being a big part of it. So bring it our way if there's something you want to get out there before we get out of here. It is the Press Box, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It's Nick and myself on The Press Box. And, of course, you guys, the boxers that take us with you wherever you go. Most weekdays, we appreciate that. Busy week. Heading up the rest of the week. We're going to try later in the week for a Barkley McHale, but we're on remote on Friday. So maybe next week as we get deeper into the NBA playoffs, we'll get into that. But trying to get Vernon Maxwell for Wednesday or later this week. And Taryn Hilo, the Instagrammer that Nick is a big fan of, that asked me to get her on the show. She's going to join us.
Oh, it's just Nick.
Astros girl. Astros
it's just
girl.
It's She's just known Nick that's the big girl. Fan. No one else is a big
you
fan,
brought
just
it
me.
Up. You said, hey, why don't you do something? So I did something. Who doesn't? So I take care of you. You said, get her on the show. I got her on the show.
I feel like you're putting it on me so you don't get in trouble with Lisa. That's
what
I feel.
Not even part of it, but it's fun to put it back on you sometimes. I mean, you give me
But I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking
forward
to it.
I bet you are. You want
to
ask her about a crotchet bikini.
How she crotchets bikinis.
Yeah.
Not crochet.
Whatever you need to do to make a dollar. All right, so half hour to go. And I'm telling you right now, Nick, there's a couple stories that I found right before I left the house today. And I'm a little bit puzzled and also disturbed. So we'll go with puzzled first to see what you think.
Okay.
A couple different ones where I'm puzzled. I'm puzzled first by the headline in which it said, lobster diver swallowed by a humpback whale lives to tell about it. He talked about the fact that he was literally in his, like, scuba gear.
Mm-mm.
Down under.
No way.
Trying to find him some lobsters. He said the next thing he knew, he was sucked into this dark tunnel and realized real quick, this one isn't a good situation. He's in the whale's mouth.
And how the hell did he survive that?
The whale spit him out.
He didn't taste too good.
He said all of a sudden, this maybe not sounds right, but it's probably appropriate for our show. All of a sudden, I felt this huge shove, and the next thing I knew, it was completely black. I could sense I was moving, and I could feel the whale squeezing with the muscles in his mouth.
Oh, no.
Stunned, he first thought he had been snapped up by a great white shark, and he was done for. And he said, this is it, I'm going to die. I was completely inside. It was completely black. I thought, there's no way I'm getting out of here. I'm done. I'm dead. All I could think of was my boys. They're 12 and 15 years old.
That's all I could think about when I was in the water. Not my kids. Not my boys.
Your other boys. Like, am I ever going to use these things again?
Yeah. But, man, I just kept looking. When I was scuba diving, I was like, man, I'm looking to the left. I'm looking to the right. I just don't want to see a shark. I didn't think of a whale. But I think a whale might, in some cases, might be scarier because as long as you don't mess with a shark and there's no blood, right, you're good, right? Unless it's just an aggressive shark. Like, some sharks are just naturally aggressive.
So he said that when he realized he could feel the humpback whales don't have teeth, he said when he realized he could feel no teeth, he began struggling and then understood that he was getting somewhere. The whale was shaking its head in discomfort. Within 40 seconds of being in the whale's mouth, the massive mammal spit him out into the ocean. He said, I saw light. As he started throwing his head side to side, the next thing I knew, I was outside. My first thought was, I can't believe I got out of that. Then I was thinking about how injured I was.
And did they explain the injuries?
So, amazingly, he said he feels fine after his remarkable getaway. Good overall. The experts said that the whale was likely a juvenile and may have swallowed him accidentally, not seeing him with his mouth open to scoop up a school of little fish.
Yeah, I'm not about that life. Not about that life. Although I probably could have ran into a whale going, you know, scuba diving in the Red Sea. So where was this?
It was, I want to say on the East Coast. It was in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm glad he's alive and he can go back to his boys, 112, 115, because that's...
He's 56. He was about 35 feet below the surface.
That's it?
Yeah. When the massive mammal tried to turn him into breakfast. He's a commercial lobster diver.
That'd be like a really slow death, right? Or I guess you just suffocate.
I mean, I got to believe that just the intense, like, compression when the whale tries to, like, swallow you has got to be excruciating.
I just don't understand how he missed the whale. Like he was just swimming and he didn't see the whale, and then all of a sudden he just, like, I don't see how he didn't see the whale.
Well, I mean, if you're focused on lobsters and you don't know what's coming up behind you.
Maybe.
Right?
It's just.
I'm trying to guess.
I mean, I can't make fun. I'm not a scuba diver.
Thank God
I don't
know. He's okay, because, I mean, you got to believe, like, you're done. At that point, you got to believe, like, yep, it's been a good run, but I probably am not going to see tomorrow.
There's things I just don't. I'll do things once just to have the experience. Like, I went scuba diving. I had the experience. I went skydiving. I had the experience. Because I survived those experiences, I plan on never doing them again. But he does that for a living, so I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, I'm looking for all the injuries. They show him in a hospital bed with all kinds of electrodes and stuff on him. But I in the article that I had, it didn't elaborate on, like, what the injuries were. But I got to believe it had to be probably, like, to your torso, right?
Like broken bones,
ribs,
maybe?
And stuff, I would assume.
I mean.
But, yeah, I can't seem to find, like, what the actual injuries were. Okay, here's the other thing, Nick. How much would you pay to go into space with Jeff Bezos?
Zero. I would not pay. I would not do that.
Now, here's the other thing that I didn't like about this. Someone, they had, like, an auction, and the highest bidder would win a chance to go up in space with Jeff Bezos. $28 million was the leading bid. And the thing is, you don't get to go and stay for an extended period of time, or, you know, like when astronauts go into space, whether it's on to the space station or whatever. This is just like what goes up and then comes down, and that's 28 mil. I don't think so, man. No. I think I could find a lot of other things to do with $28 million than something like that. It's not worth that to me. Like, I get it. I mean, I guess from that high up, you're still going to get all the sights and everything. But wouldn't it be better if, like, you were actually going into space and hanging out up there for a while? You're out completely?
The whole idea of it, no, I'm not
the
about
the risk of it? What are you worried more about, the height or the risk?
The risk.
I mean, to me... The height is one thing. I think it would be massively amazing to be able to say, you know, the breathtaking views that you got that only a select few have gotten in a lifetime, to see the planets and see, you know, so many different things and see the Earth from that distance and all the things that you can absorb. But it,
you got to be up there with some really intelligent people. I mean, it's like, how do you come up with a backup plan when you're way up in space? So weird. And I know you're dealing with some of the smartest people in the world when it comes down to math and science, but, like, I just don't get it. I'd be terrified.
So get this straight. It took less than 6 minutes to get to the $28 million winning bid. You're going to be, it would take double that for how long you're going to be in space. That's the thing I'm talking about. If I'm going for 28 mil, I'm going and I want this thing to do a couple of orbits and hang out for a while and, you know, eat, drink Tang and get the whatever crap food that you get while you're up there and you know, feel all the things and see all the things. Nope. The winner's going to join Jeff Bezos and his brother Mark on a 6-seat craft, and the flight's going to take 11 minutes.
No. I'm not paying
I'm
that.
I'm not even paying if $28 million. I don't care how much money I have.
Yeah, even if I had the money, I'm not paying that. Hell no.
Not to mention the fact, what could go wrong? Oh, a whole lot. We've seen it. But 11 minutes is all you get for $28 million.
No, just give me the $28 million. I'll spend that better.
I could find so many different things to do with $28 million than go up for 11, in space for 11 million. I mean, for 11 minutes. 7,600 people from 159 countries registered to take part in the auction and try and win the spot.
So that's basically 7,600 millionaires, basically.
I would say multi-millionaires. Maybe even, I don't know about billionaires, but.
But think about it. If you're a millionaire, do you really want to drop 20? I would want to be a billionaire if I'm dropping $28 million for an 11 or 6, whatever, how many minute ride. Like, I'd want to be a billionaire, not a millionaire. Unless you're just like a massive multi-millionaire, and I guess you still have the.
I think you're throwing it away, bro. I think it's just a waste of money.
I'm not doing that. You might as well set the money on fire, in my opinion. Unless you're just absolutely obsessed with that kind of stuff.
They're going to announce who won in a few weeks, in the coming weeks. And then, of course, because they're business people, they've saved the names of all the people that were close but didn't quite get there for the money for future flights. Because
really?
This is going to be a cash grab.
This is going to be a waiting list thing.
Absolutely.
And they could use the $28
million. Elon Musk has the backing. If Jeff Bezos doesn't, he does now. Or he's going to get close. He's going to get a whole lot of people to throw a whole lot of money on 11-minute ventures. This is like the worst amusement park ride of all time. You don't have to wait in line. You just got to pay $28 million for 11 minutes.
Elon Musk is going to pay him in some Bitcoin.
Bro, I'm
some
going really to Space Mountain and calling it a day. I ain't doing all that for $28 million. Come on. That's ridiculous. All right. One segment to go in the show. And then we'll wrap it up, turn it over to the Blitz. So stay right where you are. This is ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you. And it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN97.5.
Say what?
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Fast and Furious is what this show has been. A lot of fun as we rolled through the three-hour program, Nick and myself, on a Monday with lots of sports and other things. And we're going to finish with other things here because in my never-ending quest to make sure that we get all kinds of stories for you guys, the peeps, the boxers, came across this story in the New York Post. There's some details here, Nick, that need to be discussed. The headline reads, sex ed teacher at prestigious New York City Dalton School out after masturbation lesson for first graders.
God, these teachers are getting dumber and dumber, and then they want more money. Why would I give teachers more money when you're acting dumb like that? Obviously,
you're
I'm
in
kidding.
A hellhole like
people.
New York,
calm
right?
Down.
Right.
Teachers out there, calm down.
Yeah, let's not slander teachers because they're
we
good
love
people
teachers.
Doing great work.
But why the hell did she do that?
You're at a very wealthy private school in a hellhole like New York, so you're probably doing okay. But she has been teaching controversial sex education classes for quite a while. She then decided to change the curriculum a little bit. They've included cartoon videos on masturbation for first graders. Her name is Justine Fonte, who also taught a one-day workshop on porn literacy. Oh, Nick, to juniors at Columbia.
Porn literacy?
Yeah, to juniors at Columbia Grammar and Prep School. You're at a prep school and you're being taught about porn literacy.
What do you teach? What do you learn in porn literacy? Like, what could you possibly learn in porn literacy?
I guess you learn terms that could be deemed useful.
Google search
as you
it,
grow
and Google
up.
Will correct you.
To expand your horizons, maybe. I don't know. These are all private schools, too. So last month, that angered the porn literacy workshop, angered some parents who decided their students would not return to the school the next year. But according to an email Dalton's head of school, Jim Best, sent to parents Friday, he also will not be returning to the school. I guess basically maybe keeping her employed this long had something to do it. Throughout her tenure, she has helped to develop an exemplary kindergarten through 12th grade health and wellness program. So I guess they were big fans, but at a faculty and staff meeting this week, she announced her decision to leave to focus on her work as an independent health educator. She's been working towards this goal for over a year. I think she left before she was asked to leave, in my
opinion. Do you think she said you need it, or do you think it was a situation where they told her to quit because we're going to fire you?
That's what I'm saying. I think she got out before she was told to leave.
Because, no, I don't know. I'm saying, do you think they made her announce it?
Well, maybe.
Is maybe, what I'm asking.
Maybe if they said, you know, we'll make it worth your while. If you put an end to this without fighting this, we'll give you some cash to walk away, and you can still go to whatever you feel like is the...
I just meant just so they don't say that they had fired. That's why there's nothing public that actually says she was fired. You know, I don't think they're going to pay her to walk away.
Oh, I think so. I think so, because if she fights this, you don't want this messy thing with this prestigious school. Here's the thing, Nick. Do you know what these kids are paying per year at this school?
How much?
Tuition is $55,000 a year.
Whoa.
That's what I'm saying. So the school's got plenty of do-re-mi. They're okay. Okay?
Would you spend that much on...
No. No, sir.
On education?
Lisa and I both went to public schools. We talked about this long before we had kids. Our kids are going to public school. So she's been there for 3 years. By the way, Best, who's her headmaster... And I can't make that up. That's the that's the fancy name for principal when you get to a private school. he's leaving after 16 years, and I got to believe this had to play a role in it. But here's the thing, Nick, as we get down to the details. Okay, so one detail that had to be said is $55,000 a year for tuition. First graders were being taught sex ed lessons that included cartoons showing little kids talking about touching themselves for pleasure. In the cartoon, it says, hey, how come sometimes my penis gets big and sometimes it points in the air? Asked the little boy in the cartoon, leading to the explanation of, what is an erection, Alex? The boy nods and says, sometimes I touch my penis because it feels good.
Oh, this is the worst class ever.
I don't know. If you're a first grader, what would you rather be learning about? This or simple math?
If you're a first grader, I don't know. I don't know if I want to learn simple math either. I'll be honest with you.
That's what I'm saying. At least this is a life lesson that cannot be unlearned. And you might be able to benefit in your later life. I don't want to benefit in first grade. The boy nods and said, sometimes I touch my penis because it feels good. Then the little girl character comes in and says, sometimes when I'm in my bath or when my mom puts me to bed, I like to touch my vulva too.
Oh, my God. This is the worst class ever.
You're showing this to first graders.
What is she thinking?
The parents were initially told they had misinterpreted the content of the classwork.
No, you're just a
cartoon.
Bad parent. You didn't look into it.
It's not their fault. It's the teacher's fault. What, parents can't be there every day. I'm sure that little Johnny isn't running home hey, Daddy, they showed us a video today to say it was okay to touch my Willy Wonka.
I mean, obviously, you don't know every piece of curriculum that goes into teaching a first grader, but I would imagine if you're going to teach that type of curriculum, that you would include that and relay that to the parents. Hey, there might be a masturbation class or something like that. Now, if they put it in words to where the parents couldn't understand it or didn't realize what they were getting themselves into, I think that's even a bigger red flag.
Oh, by the way, since you asked, Nick, on the porn literacy topic, the other lecture that she had given recently, the literacy included a list of the most searched pornographic terms of 2019, including cream pie, anal, gangbang, stepmom, and more. One slide cited various porn genres such as incest-themed, consensual, or vanilla, barely legal, and kink BDSM. Maybe, again, taking it a little too far. However, parents were so angered at that because of the fact that on top of the literacy, she also explained a slide presentation and lecture to the 120 boys and girls, including lessons on how porn takes care of three big male vulnerabilities, statistics on the orgasm gap, showing that straight women have far fewer orgasms with their partners than gay men or women, and photos of partially nude women, some in bondage, to analyze what is porn and what is art.
Yeah, that she definitely should have never been hired for anything. I mean, no. if she wants to educate people about sex and porn and all that, that's fine. But there's a place and time to do that. And I don't think first graders are the ones that you teach that to.
So the first graders were getting the art of the idiosyncrasies of masturbation. The young high school students were getting the porn literacy.
And shout out to Todd the Show.
Why?
Because he says in a tweet, my first grade son's face during the porn literacy segment on the press box today.
Todd, pickup line or not, you know we're in that hour. And you know the last segment normally packs a punch. Thanks to Jermell Charlo, by the way, packing a punch, coming into our show today. That was fantastic. Guests aplenty this week as we continue to roll through. But it all starts with you. We appreciate you being a part of a Monday. Hopefully you'll be back tomorrow and the rest of the week, as Nick and I will. Coming up next, it's Fred, AJ, Aaron. It's The Blitz. It's ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.